Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
What an honor to be here. I had the opportunity to know most of these young ladies since they've been playing Little League, and what an honor for Pensacola to go and win the state championship and to coach Jay Brown. So get the opportunity to do a lot of proclamations. This is probably one that's most near and dear to my heart because the young ladies here are the future. They're not just basketball players, but they are academic scholars. They're community service. They work within the community. They make a difference, and they make all of us proud, not just the Wildcat, Booker T. Washington Wildcat family, but all of Pensacola.
Absolutely. Celebrating the girls' championship in the 5A state finals, and back at the county commission, Lumen May, commissioner for District 3, my commissioner, though I don't really get to vote. I mean, I can vote for him, but, like, I don't get to vote in the primary because he's a Democrat, and I'm not, so, you know, I don't get to vote in that primary. I do live in District 3, and I guess I've never really questioned whether I should register as a Democrat so that I could have a say in my own elections, but because then I would forfeit the ability to vote in the, you know, the state house and the congressional election primaries, so not worth it. But it is, you know, school board, commission, and ECUA. I don't have any influence over those because those are all decided in the primary. But that's how, you know, Democrats feel in districts, you know, 1, 2, 4, and 5. Anyway, back to Lumen May, reading a proclamation for the girls' basketball state champions from Washington High.
So whereas the Lady girls' basketball team has demonstrated outstanding excellence, discipline, and perseverance throughout the 2025-2026 season, finishing with an exceptional overall 24-3 record and achieving an impressive 19-game winning streak, in making history in Pensacola, Florida, and across the state of Florida. Whereas the team accomplished the ultimate distinction of being crowned the Class 5A state champions, marking the program's first state title since 2000 and the fifth state championship in the school's history.
Great history of winning, and particularly in this case.
Whereas the Lady Cats senior class has demonstrated sustained excellence by earning their third consecutive district championship while advancing to the regional championship, the team has achieved number one ranking entering the district state playoff and overall number two ranking in Class 5A of the regional championship. Whereas the Lady Cats have set a new standard of excellence under the leadership of Coach Jade Brown, who's obtained a 200th career victory this season.
Amazing.
Marked a historic milestone as the first African-American and first female head coach in the program history to win a state championship. Amen.
So the girls are all there. The family's all there. It's a big day.
Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Board of County Commissioners of Escambia County celebrates and recognizes the players, coaches, and all the supporters in this community of the Lady Cats girls basketball team for their extraordinary achievement and exceptional success in representing Pensacola all across this country. Be it further proclaimed that the Lady Cats basketball team is honored for their historic 2025-2026 Class A state championship season. Congratulations, Lady Cats.
Now, a lot of times, you know, when you're watching a movie, they use music to warn you that something's weird, something's going to happen. It's not just going to stay happy talk the whole time. If I had the opportunity to give you a little bit of that, I don't use, you know, ambience music to warn you that same way. You know, in movies, they do it all the time. You're like, I just feel like something's happening. I feel like something's going to go wrong. It will, but it takes a minute to get there. And you know me, I always want to tell you the context. Okay, this is definitely a case where the context has not been told very well, I think, about a story that you may have already heard of. So Jade Brown, who is the coach, and seems like a one, I don't know her except for, you know, that she won and that they celebrated her, but she sounds amazing.
Good morning. How's everybody doing today? I know you guys have a long meeting ahead of you. How are you doing, Ms. Childers? Please tell Lauren and Brian I said, hey, I taught your kids in my psychology class years ago. But I just want to say thank you, first of all, to, you know, first of all, God, because without him, this season wouldn't have been possible. We had a lot of ups and downs that we go through the course of the season, but our motto is don't get outworked. We may not be the biggest, we might be the quickest, but if we can outwork you, we can beat you. And I know that's something that you guys probably can use as a motto as well.
Oh, man. It's kind of funny. I'd never thought about it before, but that's definitely my motto in this job. It's like, I will work harder than anybody else who does this. John, confirmed?
Confirmed.
So I will watch more meetings. I will read more materials. I will research. I will talk more. You know, so, you know, don't get outworked. That's a motto. And then Shamiah Francis, who is this superstar FSU guy. She's going to FSU. Top in her class, just overwhelmed by it all.
The motto that we live by, don't get outworked, it will live with live in us forever. And we'll try to preach it to our peers as much as possible. So to be able to accomplish this thing with these teammates is just great. I'm actually speechless to this day, but I just want to thank you all for having me up here and having my teammates here and congratulating us on such a hard thing. So thank you.
Oh, that's great. You ever wonder if coaches matter? And coaches matter. So Ashley Hoffberger.
I think that's my favorite proclamation ever.
Yeah,
that was awesome. Thank you.
It was good. And
it was very good. And Lumen May, getting back to him.
I do thank my colleagues for supporting. We've supported this program probably for the last 10 to 12 years, and we've done it. And certainly I want to make sure that we continue to support this. I would ask staff to work with the clerk to make sure that the funding that was voted 5-0 to help support these girls, because many of them come from single-family homes. Many of them don't have what American Magic has. They don't have what Sunbelt has. And I think this board allocated $1,000, and certainly we do a lot more than that. But we want to make sure that that is taken care of.
There's your theme music.
There you go.
Okay, so that's what this is about. The $1,000 argument between the commission, which approved $1,000 for the girls' basketball program from Washington High, and the clerk of the court and comptroller, Pam Childers, who said, no, you cannot have that money. So this is a twofer for them. On the one hand, it's a good celebration for the girls and their accomplishment, which is great. And on the other hand, it's a, well, political rub in your face. You're going to turn down $1,000 to these girls who are all standing here right now with the championship, and you're going to say no to them? More in a moment. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
All right. Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Not seeing any accidents to report to you or delays. Everything is looking good so far. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right. So a little bit of background. The county commission has these discretionary funds. This is a common enough practice in, you know, your city council and your county commissions across Florida. They have $50,000 apiece per year that they can use to kind of do almost anything they want with it. Sometimes it goes for big projects. Sometimes they save it up and it rolls over, and they, it's kind of Doug Underhill's practice to try to use it for big things. And also a very common thing is to give out $500 here, $1,000 there, $2,000 to the athletic club, to the church for some event that they're doing where they're, you know, food for the poor kind of thing. It's kind of charitable things. Athletic events, teams, the very common schools doing projects, whatever. The kind of, I like to describe it as kind of big man on campus feelies, you know, is doing good things in the community that they get to kind of take credit for. It's not their money, it's my money, but they're giving it on my behalf, you know, and saying doing good things. And there's this long-standing argument that that's not really appropriate. That's not what property taxes are supposed to go for. That's supposed to be private charity. Or, you know, people can raise, you know, they can raise the funds somehow, they can ask for money, but they shouldn't be taking it out of general fund revenue because that's not what property taxes are for. And the clerk, the comptroller, she's really in her role as comptroller, but we call her the clerk, so don't get confused. She's a dual office holder, it's both. Anyway, and she's basically said there's no clear public purpose for a lot of these funds. And so now there's this fight over whether the board can authorize $1,000 here, $5,000, $500, and they give lots of money away this way. And those of us who think that is not, and I'm in this group, think that is not an appropriate use of government money, want the process to stop. And some are as strong as to say, well, it's actually illegal. It is certainly contrary to the prevailing winds of political sentiment in this state with the governor's office and the CFO, for example. But it is a long-standing practice, and they have always been approved in the past. Well, she disapproved. She denied the $1,000 for the girls' basketball team.
I would just ask the clerk, I'd ask the administration to make sure that we process this, because there's no more of a greater community good than these young ladies advertising Pensacola, not in just this state, but across this country. So if you watch the Sunshine Station, and they were on there, and if you saw the views, million of views of these young ladies, you couldn't pay for that advertisement for Escambia County and for Pensacola. So on behalf of me, young ladies, thank you for putting Pensacola back on the map for girls basketball. Thank you so much.
So what he's saying is that it was advertising. Well, you have TDC money for that. That's literally what TDT money is for. And clearly, if it were for advertising, it would be allowable to use it that way. But general fund revenue, what's the public purpose? Did they say that they were sending him there for advertising value? Was that the goal? So Pam Childers is going to have her first pass at this. This is a story. We're going to cover this a lot today because I want to make sure you understand what happened. This meeting is just, this segment of this meeting was worth watching all on its own because it's such a fascinating display of good and bad reasoning, of good and bad politics, of, you know, everything comes in here. So Pam's first pass at this is...
I would like to address Booker T. Washington with four kids that went to Booker T. Washington.
So I'm a BTW mom, she says.
I was there for 8 years raising funds for every sport because my kids played every sport, including basketball. I was also the chairman on a search committee to bring Charlie Ward as a football coach. My heart is with Booker T. The coaches taught my kids.
These coaches taught my kids. I brought Charlie Ward here. I raised money for every sport under the sun. Four kids went to this high school. So you're not going to get me on the I'm an outsider. You're not going to get me on the I don't care part, right?
However, as a clerk, my decision stands. I've put it in writing. I've made statements as to what our property taxes in the general fund should pay. This is not what we pay. I hope that all of you can write a personal check. Most of you in this room make a pretty good income. Most of you in this dais do as well. This is where our community steps up and contributes to schools.
I love them. I love this. It's good stuff, but it's not legal for you to use general fund property tax revenue to pay this. And that's why I said no. It matters where the money comes from. Now, you want to write a personal check? Write a personal check. And you know what I love is it's not a big thing to say you're against a thing. A better thing is to say you are against it, but here's a solution to the problem. So Pam's come with solutions. Solution number one, private funding. I mean, that's not much of a solution. I mean, it is, but it's not like, right, if you want government to do this, you know, telling them they can write a check, of course they can, you know. But it's to the heart of the discretionary funds issue. You can write a personal check. Do a personal check. If you want to help the whatever group it is, do it that way. Don't use public money for it, okay? Is it Jefferson? I'm trying to remember. That to use a man's money for the propagation of ideas he considers abhorrent is the definition of tyranny. I'm trying to remember who wrote the quote, but the idea is you don't want to use people's money for promoting things that they didn't, they don't want it used for. Even if it's a good thing, like helping out the girls go to states, okay? But she says there's other ways you could fund this.
I would also like to offer that Sheriff Simmons collects money from drug bust, sells cars that they get. It's called Law Enforcement Trust Fund. That's the bad guys' monies. That's the money that you can use to fund this. The Board of County Commissioners rule over this fund. They give the approval to the sheriff. I would encourage you to speak to the sheriff to get money and approve that money, and I will too, to Booker T. Washington. Thank you. I need approval for four items.
So, I mean, second chance is go to LET money, law enforcement trust fund money, you know, drug seizure money. Ask the sheriff to give $1,000. He will. And she's fine with that because that's exactly perfectly appropriate. You know, use bad guys' money to do good things. So back to Lumen May. By the way, it was Jefferson. I had that right. It's from this. I thought that was it, but it's from the Virginia Statute for Religious Freedom. That to compel a man to furnish contributions of money for the propagation of opinions which he disbelieves and abhors is sinful and tyrannical, is the actual quote. Okay, so back to Lumen May.
I'm going to respond to you because I said that. And so, Pam, here's the reality of it. We do spend a lot of money, whether it's Sunbelt or whether it's American Magic, and people say they're bringing recognition to this town. We spent a lot of money. Here's the inconsistency.
But we, it's TDT money. It's tourism money. For tourism. Not general fund revenue.
Here's the inconsistency, Pam. We voted on it. It's $1,000. It's for kids who have been on national television representing Escambia County. Kids are in need, a common good, and we've paid it for the last 10 to 12 years. Now, all of a sudden, we have had these young ladies to anticipate that they had a community support, and we snatched it from right under them.
And he's right about that, that this kind of money has been paid in the past for a long time. And to suddenly not be paying it is a big change, especially when they had acted on the expectation that they would be able to pay it, and then she says no. But there's more, as always, to this story.
It's not about the $1,000, because you're absolutely right. Many of us have written $1,000 checks, and I have too. But to be inconsistent and to do it for 10 to 12 years, fam, is wrong in my opinion. And this board voted upon it, and it should have been executed. And so what I've asked the administrator and the attorney and the lawyer to do is at some point stand up and get us an attorney general opinion. If it's wrong, fam, I'm good. If it's not best practices, then let's not do it. But let's not lead people on. Let's not lead them on and tell them that they're going to get something that they're not going to get. So I'm good. I respect you, clerk, if it's not the proper protocol. But give me something. Give me a precedent. Because you can't tell me that we've done something for 15 years, then all of a sudden we wake up one day and then it's wrong. Well, I mean, that's wrong. I mean, you can't do that. I mean, and so that's my point. And maybe it's not right. But we did it for 15 years.
There's a part of Lumen that knows that he might be wrong about this, and he does not want that part to talk very loud. Because what he wants is clarity. But in the meantime, and he's saying, it might be wrong, but we've been doing it for a long time. Well, if it's wrong and you've done it for a long time, there's no better time than today to stop doing it. 16 years of doing the wrong thing is worse than 15 years of doing the wrong thing. Right? So more on this to come. that's the start.
Oh boy.
That's the beginning. And I wanted you to hear the Booker T. Washington stuff because that was the context. And Pam's comments about that school and her love of it and her belief in the girls and the program and her kids, I don't think a lot of that got reported in the news. And I wanted you to hear that because that's an important background to the fight that got left out, in my opinion. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you or delays. I-10, I-110, 90-98. Everything is flowing smoothly. John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
You already know Squeegee Squad for spotless windows and powerful pressure washing, but this spring it's time to let the sunshine in. Squeegee Squad makes your windows crystal clear and your home shine again. And hey, put down the ladder. Their licensed insured pros handle the windows, the pressure washing, and the gutter cleaning so you don't have to. Residential or commercial. Windows, power washing, gutter cleaning, and more. Squeegee Squad does it all. Less grime, more shine. Call Squeegee Squad today and let your home sparkle this spring.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. to find out what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in tomorrow at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Who loves you, baby? You're beautiful.
John was asking me in the break, and the girls from Booker T. Washington were still in the room when this was happening. I'm like 90% sure yes.
Wow.
And all the fighting over this is happening right in front of them, you know, which it was super awkward. More of that at 7 o'clock. I'll finish up that topic. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, gentlemen. Travelers can expect ICE to remain at airports for as long as they're needed. That's according to White House Border Czar Tom Homan. He was on CBS's Face the Nation. He says ICE officers will maintain a presence in airports until airports are at a posture where they can return to normal operations. President Trump says he could see a deal with Iran happening soon. The war effort, Operation Epic Fury, passed the one-month mark over the weekend as thousands of additional American forces are arriving in the Middle East. And anticipation building along the Space Coast ahead of the planned launch of Artemis II. The crewed mission to orbit the moon is on track for a blast off on Wednesday. And businesses there around Cape Canaveral getting ready for big crowds.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. A couple of texts here, 437-1620 on the Booker T. Washington. $1,000 for the girls' basketball team that Pam Childers has said no to for what I think are good reasons and what, you know, Lumen may and eventually several of the other commissioners are going to lose their minds over in this meeting. Somebody says, just because something has been done for a long time and it's wrong does not make it right to continue it. That's her point. Yeah, and I mean, it's fair to ask the question, well, what about the things in the past? But, you know, if a thing is wrong, a thing is wrong. And even if you've done it that way a long time, if it's wrong, it's wrong. And especially under the current political environment, again, at the state level. Somebody says, interesting, Lumen goes from 10 years to 12 years to 15 years. Well, as long as he's been on the board, and he's been on the board 14 years. And which is, you know, a long time, obviously. And, you know, he and particularly he and Stephen Barry are the ones who have used this money a lot, this discretionary money a lot, to do a lot of good things, but also to get the credit for doing a lot of good things with your property tax money.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. A skeleton crew in the Senate is set to meet after House Republicans rejected a Senate deal to fund DHS, choosing instead to pass their own stopgap bill. All of this as TSA agents can get paid as early as today, thanks to an executive order by President Trump.
Border Czar Tom Homan said those paychecks could come today or tomorrow, but some TSA officers indicate it is a small solution to a bigger problem because they're still suffering financial setbacks from the country's longest government shutdown that ended in November.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, an update on the conflict with Iran.
Operation Epic Fury has now entered week five, and the United States continues to hammer the Iranian regime. Reports indicate the president is considering a limited ground operation inside of Iran following the arrival of the USS Tripoli, manned with 3,500 troops.
Fox's Trey Yings, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3, and right now we've got cloudy skies. It is 60 degrees. We'll get to our forecast. Marion Caldwell has that for us here in just a few minutes. Well, protesters gathered over the weekend, all across the nation and in Pensacola for No Kings demonstrations. There was one in Pensacola at North 9th Avenue and Airport Boulevard. Organizers say they chose that location due to its high traffic and good parking as well. Previous rallies were held at that same spot back in October that drew over 3,100 people. Attendance Saturday was not immediately available. While the local No Kings rally had no major issues of note, there was an arrest made at a rally after a fight in Seminole County on Saturday. Police in Sanford say they arrested James Caldwell for battery after he hit a counter-protester with a sign that he was holding. Preparations are underway for the launch of Artemis II. A crew of four will orbit the moon on a 10-day mission. NASA said yesterday that launch could happen as soon as Wednesday. Launch conditions as of now are 80% go. A Fort Walton Beach man is facing attempted homicide charges after allegedly stabbing a man at the waterfront rescue mission in Pensacola on Sunday. Deputies say 33-year-old Jesse Fetzer approached the victim, started a verbal argument, which then turned physical and ended with a stab wound to the victim's abdomen. Officers located Fetzer a short distance away on Lurton Street. He was taken into custody without incident and is being held without bond. He also faces a fraud impersonation charge. Three more suspects have been arrested in connection with the March 21st shooting near Walton Street and Sterling Hills Apartments in Pensacola. 18-year-old Antonio Von Shane Booker and 18-year-old Micah Alexander Franklin have both been charged with attempted homicide, shooting deadly missiles, and criminal mischief. A 16-year-old is also charged with attempted homicide and shooting deadly missiles and criminal mischief. The 16-year-old also faces an unlawful possession of a firearm charge. The case was solved with help from Pensacola's newly installed Flock license plate reader cameras. An initial arrest was made earlier last week. More than 20 shell casings were recovered at the scene of that shooting. Well, time's running out to participate in an important survey. The city wants your input.
The city of Pensacola's annual residential satisfaction survey is now available online or by phone, inviting city residents to participate and provide feedback on city services and priorities. The survey deadline is tomorrow and is being conducted by the UWF Haas Center. Only residents within the city of Pensacola limits may complete that survey. Chris Bryan, News Radio, 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. It is 60 degrees, cloudy skies right now. Of course, we'll get to our full forecast in just a few minutes. But first, let's check in with John Pickens for a look at our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by ECUA. They're making service easier with the new My ECUA mobile app, available to download now. Pay your bill, report service issues, alerts, and recycling tips. I'm not seeing any accidents to report to you right now, nor delays. I-10, I-110. Let's see here, 90, 98, even going through Navarre, is all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Your Monday morning starts out with temperatures in the 60s. Mostly cloudy skies now will make way for partly sunny conditions on your Monday afternoon with temperatures in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Marian Caldwell with your WEAR first warning weather forecast.
60 degrees, cloudy skies in Pensacola, 61 in Gulf Breeze, 56 reported in Milton. Your next news at 7, breaking news anytime, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Anheuser-Busch InBev said its chairman of the board will retire next month. After 9 years on the company's board of directors, Chair Martin J. Barrington will retire following AB InBev's annual shareholders meeting on April 29th. Treasury yields were lower this morning as investors looked ahead to key jobs data and monitored the U.S.-Iran war, which entered its fifth week. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield was down over 4 basis points at 4.393%. Oil prices remain sky high, sitting up roughly 2% after Yemen Houthis launched their first attacks on Israel over the weekend. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $101.54 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $115.25 per barrel. Futures are sitting moderately higher. On Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 793, the NASDAQ down 459, the S&P 500 down 108. Once again, futures are moderately higher. That's your money now.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Atlas Beverage Class, Celebrate Easter at Great Southern, Angelina's Supper Club, Limón de Primavera, a celebration of spring, new spring and summer menus, and the annual Craft Beer Festival, Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The free Ega Wahooza event at Maritime Park is Saturday, beginning at 8 with the 5K Color Run. Get the fun details at pensacolachurch.org. Bands on the Beach returns next Tuesday the 7th on Casino Beach. Beginning at 7 every Tuesday, kick back with family and friends and enjoy the live music. The Calverts kick off the season. See PensacolaBeachChamber.com for more. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
No opinions, no arguing, just the news. Right now.
Right now.
Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Turn it up.
Today you're being asked to approve a complete rewrite of an existing contract worth hundreds of millions of dollars to a developer with zero community input. Not only is this unreasonable, it raises serious questions about how this process has been conducted so far.
The developer claims this new agreement is a coordinated approach that allows the county to enjoy the economic upside of an innovation district while they execute the rest of the site with clear feasibility. I want to address that framing directly because it misrepresents the financial reality of this deal. In real estate, feasibility means low risk and immediate cash flow. By carving out the 171 acres dedicated to the employment district, the developer is insulating themselves from the hardest, most expensive part of the master plan. They're asking to keep the highly profitable residential and retail portions while handling the speculative infrastructure, heavy land back to the taxpayers.
Now, we talked about this. I know you're not on the board anymore, but this is precisely the kind of project, if you were on the board, that you would approve.
100%.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you.
So, context, and yes, I have kind of interrupted the conversation about Washington High and the clerk, the court, and the comptroller and the dispute over the $1,000. We'll come back to that top of the hour next hour, 7:10. But for now, the OLFA discussion was another very interesting piece of the conversation at the Escambia County Commission meeting on Thursday. This is the part where Chad Henderson, the Tri-W Group Mayor, former Mayor Ashton Hayward's a part of this, have come back and said, we will leave you the 170 acres. We'll reduce the purchase price by millions of dollars for OLFA property, or what's going to become outlying fields, as they're calling it now, is the project. You guys do economic development. You guys go to Triumph and get money for example, roads and infrastructure to the economic development portion, the northeast corner, basically. And then, you know, because Triumph won't fund things that are private, Triumph will only fund things that are government. And so to create jobs, and we'll keep the rest of it. You had a couple of people. John Moore was one who spoke and said that legally you have to go out to re-procure this entirely. You cannot start from this. You cannot continue at this point because it's such a dramatic amendment to the contract. It's such a big change that you're now, you can make minor changes. You can't make major changes was his argument. Colin Gold says, they're just trying to load off onto you the speculative, hard to prove, maybe won't make any money stuff, and instead, you know, keep the juicy, you know, residential and retail for themselves. And then David Baer, you heard Steve Stroberger ask him, when you were on the Triumph board, he's not anymore, but when he was, Triumph is the, you know, $1.5 billion worth of money that came from BP oil settlement to pay for the most affected counties to go for basically economic diversification and job creation. And we go to them and we say, we'll do this and this and this, we'll meet these metrics, and then you vote for us the money. And then there's standards for it. And that's how we built the ST engineering hangars. And just kind of, I know in the audience on any given day, you have people who know all of this stuff and people who are like, what's a Triumph? Why does he keep saying that word? You know, well, I always trying to get all of you, trying to make sure everybody knows, and I don't want you to feel lost because, you know, you haven't been here very long. I want you all to feel included. Anyway, so David Baer was on that board, and he's approved a lot of projects. He's not on that board anymore, and Steve says, this is the kind of project you would have approved, you know, to me. And he's like, yeah, 100% for sure. Now, there's kind of, there's maybe two questions of a sort here. Question number one is the lingering question of, you know, is this the right company, right developer to be doing this? Question number two is, even if you say yes, should they be allowed to change the contract so substantially and give economic development basically back to the county, Florida West, PEDC, to run that and handle that instead of doing it themselves? And you can answer the first question yes and answer the second question no, or you could answer both questions yes, or you could answer both questions no. You could say Chad Henderson's the wrong people and they shouldn't be allowed to change the contract. I mean, I suppose you could even logically say they're the right group. Sorry, they're the wrong group, but now that they've been agreed to, you could let them change the contract. Anyway, the point is, who's on board with this? And the answer is everybody but a couple of the speakers. And their, you know, concerns are going to kind of get addressed. You know, basically, Allison Rogers says, yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's fine. It's, you know, your powers in this kind of a context allow you to do this sort of a thing. It's okay. Teresa Blackwell, who has been the primary opposition against, for example, Jeff Bergosh and Stephen Barry and the economic development-oriented side, the kind of the Board of County Commissioner side, she's been kind of the most outspoken representative of, you might say, the people, okay? And like a good representative of the people, she's not out there claiming she represents everybody. She's more humble than that. She was a good journalist back in the day, and we've had her on the show, and she's a dear friend. She's smart, okay? And even she says...
Good morning, Teresa Blackwell. I live in Beulah. And I stood here in 2017 and said, a big commerce park is not what we need in Beulah. After a long community campaign with the help of Navy Federal, we finally got a great DPC master plan. All we needed after that was the right developer. Early in the process, Commissioner Barry said we shouldn't choose a developer based on the promise of top dollar. What we need is a good partner.
And his argument was, first of all, we want to make sure we're working with the right people, and a few million here or there isn't going to make the wrong person the right developer. And also, long term, you know, it's not just about the sale price. It's about what you make in taxes and economic growth and jobs and the spinoff of that into taxes. I mean, there's a lot of economic elements, and you might well give up a few million in order to get long-term results.
We have that in Chad Henderson and Tri-W.
There you go.
They have communicated openly with all the stakeholders, kept us in the loop, and in Beulah, they've shown a strong grasp of what residents want. I support continuing with them. I want what is best for Beulah and for the county, what is financially responsible, and what will finally move this project forward.
See, to me, this was the most persuasive of anybody because she's been on the other side. She was not for the Tri-W group. She was for Fred Hemmer's group, adamantly. And she still is for, like, the DPZ master plan concept. And, you know, like, if Teresa, who has been on the other side, is on board, then I'm good. A lot of times in life, you just, you know, even something that you've studied, you might learn who's the big advocate. And if they are offering an opinion that's contrary to what you might have expected from them, I mean, I usually take that pretty seriously.
The price the developer is offering fully covers the county's $17 million with about $10 million in interest. The profit on that is not just money. It's those 171 acres that you will be retaining.
Right. I mean, it's not as though this is just giving something away. This is keeping the land. We'll have the ability to develop it, get Triumph money, lease it, make the money, property taxes off of the businesses that are there, all this stuff, unless they give it away through E-dates. But yeah, I mean, she's right. It's not just that we don't get the money. It's that we do get other money later. We'll come back to this in a second because it got really interesting after this, as many times is the case. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free, even delay-free. Not seeing anything that's going to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, Chad. Sorry, I was reading a text. Thanks so much, John. sorry. All right, back to the conversation around OLF 8 or outlying fields and the request by the developer, Chad Henderson's Tri-W group, to basically reduce the scope of the payment in order to allow the economic development, 170 acres, to stay with the county and the county through Florida West to handle all of that. Mike Kohler wants to know if it's legal, because the question that was raised earlier by John Moore, is this a legal amendment to a contract, or is this such a substantial amendment that we really have to go back and start over? Kind of like when you do a second reading of a bill, if you make minor tweaks, it's fine. But if you make substantive tweaks, you have to go back to the first reading and do it again because you're now talking about a whole new ordinance. All right. So Mike Kohler asks.
The first question is, which I'm concerned about for you, Allison, is there risk because of these changes that we could get an illegal suit for procurement? And I need to be sure that we're not, because I don't want the taxpayers to be on the hook for that. And that's important for me, not that I'm against the project, but it has changed substantially. And I think you need to give a attorney's opinion on this.
Yes. It is true that this is a significant change from the original purchase sale agreement for this property. However, the county does have very broad home rule economic development powers.
And so she says it's fine. It's within what's allowed based on all the considerations. So then we get the bombshell. Mike Kohler says, I love this project, but I can't vote on it. I have to recuse myself.
I support the project, but I'm being told by legal I should abstain from voting on it because of the fundraiser. I, honest to God, didn't know that till just a few minutes ago. Allison, you want to tell them why?
Sure. The Florida law does provide for significant protections from multiple facets of the ethics code for campaign contributions. However, based on the circumstances presented here, it is my cautious advice to Commissioner Kohler that he should abstain from this item and file a voting conflict memo with clerk within 15 days.
Man, I will do that, and I support you guys. There was no alternative motive here, I promise.
And Lumen is like, what you're going to do now? You got a campaign contribution, and so you're going to abstain?
I mean, if that's the case, should any of us vote? I mean, well, I've received a campaign contribution from many people that are involved in this. I mean, do we abstain? I mean, it's not a near benefit for me.
I haven't received a campaign donation from somebody. The only one that can vote? Because I'm going to vote yes.
Steve Stroberger, I'm the only one who hasn't received campaign contributions from these folks. Does that mean I'm the only one who can vote? Can't have a quorum of one, by the way.
It's the timely manner.
I'm not going to vote on something and someone else received a donation and they're not voting. I mean, I support it, but I'm not going to vote on it.
The concern raised here is the timing. The timing.
So, time or the actual donation. So you're saying if we received a donation 2 years ago, it doesn't matter.
That, to me, that is highly protected.
So what's the difference between 2 days ago and 2 years ago?
36 hours ago, he apparently got thousands of dollars in campaign contributions from these folks.
Not just them, but,
And that's fine, but many of us on this dais, I mean, I'd care to say that many of us have gotten donations,
you're
2,000
ballot,
hours ago from many of the people that are involved.
My concern is you're not on the ballot. He is.
You're not up for re-election. He is. You got money 2 years ago. He got money a day and a half ago from these developers. They are different circumstances. Now, Lumen is just not the greatest on distinguishing these things. He doesn't really grasp the sources of money stuff. He doesn't really grasp the 36 hours versus 2 months versus 3 years kind of stuff.
Okay, well, I just want a point of clarification because I don't want him abstaining because he received a donation and 6 months later someone says, you got a donation and you voted for Chad Henderson.
So, that was my next question.
Yeah,
Ashley. Hey, I'm talking. Thank you.
Ashley Hoffberger.
I am also on the ballot and I received a lot of campaign donations, so thank you for everyone who believes investing in infrastructure and public safety. My last campaign fundraiser was months ago. Do I need to... Obviously, it's all public record as well, and you can go to myescambiovotes.com and look that up.
If it's months ago, I have far fewer concerns. I just learned about this.
Understand.
And it was 36 hours ago. So that is my concern, is the timeliness can be something that raises some concerns.
I mean, 36 hours ago, 3 months ago, 3 years ago, you still received the money. I mean,
I'm not worried about something that happened 2 years ago.
It's a question of an election year in proximity to the vote itself. Come on, Lumen, you're smarter than this. You can figure out the distinctions here. Stephen Barry's going to weigh in.
I don't like the precedent of the discussion of this.
Well, then drop the item and bring it back so that we can get...
About somebody abstaining because of contributions. I've never heard this as an issue in 14 years up here.
I have
By the way, context is if you are at a meeting, you have to vote. You cannot abstain unless you are obligated to abstain because you're going to receive a financial benefit from it. Campaign contributions are very different. I mean, people get campaign contributions for all kinds of reasons. Those in and of themselves are immunized from this. I mean, you have to disclose them, but that's not something that's a voting conflict. You know, it'd be if you you're going to get paid in the future. You're going to get business. You own a property. You know, those kinds of things.
I have never had a situation in the last handful of years.
The campaign contributions has never been raised as an issue of anyone coming before the dais of us. And it's been explicitly stated that it's never been, that it's not a consideration. I don't want the precedent opening the door for commissioners to be able to abstain because they receive campaign contributions.
And by the way, I don't get to say this a lot, but I think he's very right about this. And I mean, his analysis of this is correct. It's just the short time that's the issue.
Then my advice would be to drop it and bring it back next week so that we can get an opinion regarding the timing of this particular circumstance.
Okay. Well, you better get an opinion because I don't think timing has anything to do with it. If Cola got him and Ashley got him, I mean, whether it's 3 months or whether I got him 3 years ago, I mean, that's a bad precedent. I mean, I'm all in favor, but that to me sets me up because I can tell you who's going to be the first one that they come after.
They're worried about getting ethics charges. They're also worried about commissioners abstaining from votes that they should have to be forced on the record to participate in.
There's explicitly stuff in our fact training that we do every year that says campaign contributions aren't to be considered they're not considered a reason for an abstention.
And in virtually every circumstance, I would agree. I'm giving cautious advice based on a fact pattern given to me within the last 20 minutes.
So the Florida Association of Counties and the guidance is you're not supposed to care about that stuff. But again, it's a sudden disclosure within minutes of the meeting. And the advice given to Mike Kohler was because of the 36-hour proximity to the vote, you should abstain.
And you can't treat the chair any way than you treat Kohler. I mean, 3 months? I mean, you're telling me that you can receive it 3 months and he got it 3 days ago? I mean...
Well, we also can't.
Yeah, I mean, but anyway, I mean, well.
Commissioner Barry.
Madam Chair, I move the item.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor? Okay, that is 4-0 with Commissioner Kohler abstaining due to a conflict.
And he wanted to vote because he supports the project. I thought it was interesting that nobody was willing to push it to the next time, to next week, you know, because they're going to have a meeting, I think, this week, Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. They could have, but they wouldn't. And Allison was telling him you could do that. So they went ahead, and he's recused. I just think it's, you know, kind of wild that everybody's all of a sudden like, well, I got money from him, and which is very common. And, you know, a lot of times people say, well, you're bought off by these people. I just think a lot of times if you're in favor of something, you give the people money that you think are going to win for you. That's not, I mean, you know, if I were ever to run for office and some pro-life group gave me money, would you think they paid me off to be pro-life? No, you'd think they're investing in the candidate that they think is going to represent them or pro-gun or, you know, pro-God or, you know, in favor of small government, whatever. You know, that's how that works. So, you know, developers, for example, who think that the votes are going to work their way, they give campaign contributions. That's what they're trying to accomplish. 6:55 here on News Radio 92.3. But fascinating stuff, right, John?
Oh, yes.
The weird squabble over, how dare you recuse yourself? I want to be able to recuse myself. Wait, shouldn't I have to recuse myself?
But I do it, too.
Yeah. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Still rolling accident-free, even delay-free. I-10, I-110 all look good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance tech at a university, he knows ordering from multiple suppliers takes time away from keeping their arena up and running. That's why he counts on Grainger to get everything he needs, from lighting and HVAC parts to plumbing supplies, all in one place. And with fast, dependable delivery, he's stocked and ready for the next tip-off. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Terry Village Shishadi, former commanding officer of Naval Air Station Pensacola, and I wanted to personally invite you all to join us on May 8th for the second annual Pensacola Navy Days Golf Tournament presented by Astro Lincoln. It's going to be held on board Naval Air Station Pensacola at the historic A.C. Reed Golf Course. There's going to be some great giveaways, contests throughout the course, and we're going to finish up the day with an awesome award ceremony. So to find out more, go on PensacolaNavyDays.org and click on the events page. Come on out and support Pensacola Navy Days and our incredible military community.
When I heard I needed a heart transplant, I thought it was game over. All I could think about was the memories that I wouldn't be able to make with my family.
Then an angel entered our lives as an organ donor. Their decision to register as a donor saved my husband's life.
Save lives, say yes. Register today as a donor at DonateLifeFlorida.org.
This message is sponsored by Donate Life Florida and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You don't want rumors.
You want confirmation.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
You want confirmation.
Informative, local, dependable.
Son, you got a panty on your head.
Yes, sir. 6:58 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Anticipation building on the Space Coast for the launch of Artemis II. That could happen as soon as the blastoff could happen as soon as this Wednesday. And apparently there's going to be some big crowds in Cape Canaveral for that when it happens. The stage is set for Final Four action in the NCAA tournament. Number one, Michigan crushed Tennessee in the Midwest region. Second-ranked UConn defeated Duke in the East to close out the Elite Eight.
Spectacular game.
And the Wolverines will tip off against Arizona, and the Huskies will take on Illinois in the Final Four Saturday. And Tiger Woods been seen in public.
No, the people who are from Illinois in the audience are spelling I in response. David Wayne, you didn't do an I for me after we beat you, your Iowa Hawkeyes?
No.
Nothing there?
Just kind of trying to ignore all of that, actually. But congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. So if Donald Trump, by executive order, can pay the TSA, why couldn't he do it 40 days ago?